You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Community Advisory Board will meet on Monday, May 12th at 6:30 p.m. The meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. My name is TK Kapura and I'm your host this evening. If you just joined us, thank you for listening in and welcome on board. You're listening to the Global Sales Show on KBOO Portland. Before we dive into our interview today, I just wanted to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. Today we have a very special guest from my home country. His name is Napoleon Jambwa. He also goes by his totem, Soko Makuramiti. He is an mbira player. Mbira is a unique instrument that's only played in the southern part of Zimbabwe. It can be converted into like an electrical sound system if you plug into the system, or it can go acoustic unplugged. So I'm going to be talking to him and asking him some questions about his instruments. I'm also going to be talking about his background, his immigration from Zimbabwe to the USA, his life experiences, and many other things that we're going to be talking about tonight. So before I steal his thunder, I just want him to introduce himself. Hey, welcome, Napoleon. Can you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Okay, thank you for having me tonight. I'd just like to say hello to the viewers and to everyone. My name is Napoleon Jambwa. I was born in Zimbabwe, which is southern part of Africa.
Right.
And then I grew up there, and then I migrated to South Africa. Then I lived in South Africa for 16 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Napoleon. Now, will you please start by playing a piece from your unique instrument? Before we talk about that instrument, I just want my audience to understand what kind of music you're going to deliver from that magical instrument in your hands.
Okay. So I'm just going to play the first song, which is like a prayer to open any ceremony. So we are opening this ceremony today.
Okay.
All right.
Sango, yeah, Dimambo, yeah, Dimambo, yeah, Dimambo, nyumba inogara ona chabinuka digwejambira 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 akati saunde ashika chabinuka ndibambo iwe ona ndibambo chabinuka ndibaba nyumba inogara yepa musango ndibambo ndibambo iye ndibambo nyumba inogara yepa musango.
That was the first offering from Napoleon Jambua with his song Shumba Inogaroega Msango. Napoleon, welcome on board. If you don't mind, would you please explain the significance of this song and what it means and what are the implications of the lyrics on that song?
Okay, basically on this song, Shumba Inogaroega Msango is like a lone lion, like, you know, you know, there's some lions they always live in a pride, but there's always that lone lion, you know, which is the dangerous lion,
right?
Because it doesn't have any family, so it has got itself, you know, to defend itself and to hunt for itself. So Chaminuka is a spirit, it's a, like a ancestral spirit, which is same as a lion, which is always alone in the bush, you know, hunting on its own, defending its own territory alone.
Okay.
So yeah, so it's
great.
Yeah.
A lot of our audiences may be interested in knowing, like, what are the origins of the instrument you are playing, because it's a unique instrument in this part of the world. Would you care to explain what this instrument is all about?
Okay. So originally, back in the days during the time of our ancestors, they used to play this instrument during their ancestral ceremonies or gatherings, like especially like when there's drought maybe, so they would do a ceremony using this instrument, you know, to do the rain dance and then the rain ceremony. So they would play the whole night, and then yeah, that's how they incorporated it in their daily lives.
So for those not seeing what we are seeing right now, what I'm experiencing right now, would you also explain to them what this instrument is made of? What does it look like to those who cannot see you?
Okay. The mbira, it has got a wooden board with metal keys, which you need to use your thumbs to plug them to make sound. And then it's in a gourd, which is there like the resonator for it to amplify it. Yeah.
Okay. So at what age did you start playing this instrument?
I started at age of 5, 6, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Before I even started going to school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who was teaching you?
Originally, my father is the one who taught me. Because he came from the musical family also.
Okay.
So he passed on the talent to me in other ways, kind of. Yeah.
Were there any notes created for you to learn how to play it? Do you read notes or you just play from memory?
I just play from memory. Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't go to school for it. So it's just an inborn talent, you know. Yeah.
Oh, great, great. Yeah. Yeah, this is very interesting. And would you also explain now to the audience who just joined us, like, where you come from and what the situation is like where you come from?
I'm originally from Zimbabwe, from Harare, which is like the capital city of Zimbabwe.
Where is Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe is on the southern part of Africa, just in between South Africa, Mozambique, Zambia, but yeah, Botswana, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Right. So before we get into the depths of our interview, I want also to kindly request you to play another piece.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, let's do that.
And what's the piece you're going to play for us now?
This one is called Chipembere.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does Chipembere mean?
Chipembere, it's a rhino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Shona language. Mm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's one of those sacred and spiritual animals in Africa, in my culture.
Why is it spiritual? Why is it sacred?
It's kind of different from other animals because Chipembere is like, you know, even lions, they're scared of a rhino. I mean, it's a scary animal. So mm-hmm. the spirit of a rhino in someone, so that person is someone who's being respected and fearful kind of vibes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So does it connect to giving people some special some special feeling or what?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you'll be like calling the spirit of the rhino, you know, mm-hmm. yeah, in to you, you know, that kind of vibe. But there's a totem for the rhinos, which is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great. Why don't you go ahead and share the piece, please?
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. you so much, Napoleon, for that special piece. For those just joining us, you're listening to the Global Sales Show on KBOO 97.9 FM. Thank you for listening in. And if you're listening right now and you just joined us, please just keep in mind KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we're funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give or simply text KBOO to these numbers, 44-321. Tonight I'm interviewing Napoleon Jambwa. He's a musician from Zimbabwe. He lives here in Portland. He's now an immigrant here in the USA. Napoleon, would you please explain to the audiences how you grew up in Zimbabwe, what life was like when you growing up in Zimbabwe?
Okay, growing up in Zimbabwe, it was tough, you know, I mean, because, you know, we used to live from hand to mouth, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I think we grew up in the wrong time when there was too much political issues happening,
mm-hmm.
which had affected our lives as the youths of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the economic situation and everything and the political situation was too tough, mm-hmm. which, yeah, resulted in a lot of people fleeing the country to a lot of different places in the world.
Oh, okay. So before you came to the US, you once mentioned you went to South Africa?
Yes.
Okay, what was life like in South Africa?
In South Africa, life was better than in Zimbabwe in the first years, I think, when I started living there.
Yeah.
So along the way, things started changing, and then there was a lot of xenophobia starting to happen now. So there was a lot of xenophobic attacks, and then I had a lot of friends and families who got injured, and some of them, they even got killed during the xenophobic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So was there a special reason why South Africans would hate immigrants?
For them, they had a reason, like saying we the immigrants were coming to take over their jobs or something like that,
mm-hmm.
of which it wasn't true. You know what I mean? You can just go into someone's country and then take their jobs, but we were doing the jobs a lot of locals didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we were taking, you know, those scrap jobs, we'd be doing those hard labor jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But for them, they developed this hatred towards Zimbabweans.
Was it only targeted against the Zimbabwean people or any other nationalities in the country of South Africa?
Their main target is Zimbabweans.
Why Zimbabwe?
I don't know, maybe because we are neighbors or because we are a lot of us there in South Africa, because mm-hmm. there is a lot of Zimbabweans just coming across the border.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where it came from, maybe. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how long did you live in South Africa?
In South Africa, I lived there for 16 years. 16 years, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it is my understanding, too, that you've been to Japan.
Yeah.
What did you travel to Japan for?
I was doing music. I was performing and teaching music also. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you were playing the same instrument and the same kind of music in Japan?
Yes. And then we had also the marimbas and other instruments also, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did the Japanese people who invited you, how did they discover this music?
I think the Japanese, they are more traditional people also.
Mm-hmm.
So I think their culture and our culture resonated. I think maybe this instrument talked some other languages we didn't know, and then mm-hmm. they fell in love with this instrument. That's why
mm-hmm.
they got so connected to this music, I think.
So when you taught this music in Japan, were they able to play the instrument?
Yes, they are very good. They are good.
Good. Yeah. So they could also dance to the music and be able to sing some words in our language?
Yes, they did. They did. Mm-hmm. Because Japanese, the way they pronounce their words, it's more similar to Shona.
Okay.
So I think it was easier for them to learn the singing and the language. Even us to learn Japanese, it was also easy because the way we pronounce words and everything is just the same.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you stay in Japan?
It was for 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was life like in general in Japan?
Life is good. Japan is a good country. It's a good country. Yeah.
In what ways?
In terms of, you know, food, the culture, the people, they are friendly. Yeah, they are good people. So, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, we could interact easily, but, yeah, you know, home is always the best. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So after Japan, you went back to Zimbabwe?
To South Africa.
To South Africa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you were in South Africa, were you playing this music?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you having some shows and or you just playing for yourself?
We had a lot of shows because I had a band in South Africa, so we were playing a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how was the music received in South Africa?
It was well received because there's a lot of Zimbabwean community mm-hmm. and South Africans also who likes the music. So we had a big crowd, you know, which accepted the music. So it was good. The music was accepted.
Great.
Yeah.
Did South Africans also accept this music besides the Zimbabwean audiences you were playing for?
South Africans, they did. That's why we even did a lot of shows with South Africans singing together, you know. Mm-hmm. Doing joint like fusions and then, you know, featuring South Africans. It was good.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. So what made you leave South Africa? You said it was xenophobia, right?
Yes.
So when you left South Africa, did you come to Zimbabwe first or you came from South Africa straight to the USA?
From South Africa straight to the USA.
Okay, great. Yeah. So do you miss home?
Sometimes, you know, you get homesickness, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So what is it that you miss home about, the most that you miss home about?
You know, the family,
mm-hmm.
the food.
Yeah.
And the music.
And the music.
Yeah.
I thought you already have the instrument in your hand so you can play all the music you want.
No, you know, sometimes you need to have like, you know, like full band kind of vibes, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So are there any local community members here in town who play the same kind of music?
I haven't met Zimbabweans who does it, but there's mm-hmm. local groups which does marimbas and the mbiras. Yeah, there are some groups which does that.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's great. For those just joining us, you're listening to the Global Sales Show. I'm your host, TK Kapura. This evening, if you just joined us, thank you for listening in and welcome. We just wanted to remind you that as long as you're enjoying this program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a member, sustaining member, by going to kboo.fm/give or simply text KBOO to these numbers 44-321. I'm having Napoleon Jambwa as our host, as our guest tonight. And he's from Zimbabwe. He's sharing mostly about his instrument. He plays the mbira instrument, which is an acoustic instrument, and it can also be plugged onto electricity, but he can do both. And it's a traditional instrument, and he says it has some deep connections with his history and his ancestry. So this music is said to invoke some special spiritual powers and special messages, as you explained. Before I dig deeper, why don't you give us another piece, Napoleon, for the audience?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you.
imbube, imbube, mbube, imbube, imbube, imbube. Pata pata, oh mama, iyo mama, iyo mama, hi pata pata, iyo pata pata, hi pata, ini sakukuka satubeka, hi pata, ini sakukuka satubeka, oh mama, iyo mama, iyo mama, hi pata pata, iyo pata pata, hi pata.
thank you so much for that special piece. I love that song, inspired by The Lion King. Yeah,
thank you.
Really love it. For those just joining us, you're listening to the KBOO Global Sales Show. I'm your host, TK Kapura, this evening. I'm interviewing Napoleon Jambwa from Zimbabwe, sharing his immigrant experiences. So, Napoleon, when you got to the USA as an immigrant, can you please share with our audience what you found to be kind of exciting to be in America? What excited you to be here first time?
First time, you know, if you're coming like from Africa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, when you reach in the US, you know, I was like overwhelmed with everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's big, it was cool, you know. You said, okay, is this the US which we always see in the TVs, in the movies, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everything, I was impressed, you know. I think up to now, you know, I'm still I still love everything, you know.
Uh-huh.
Especially here in Portland, people are friendly, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I fell in love with the country just from the moment I stepped my foot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, great. How do you compare the food that you were used to and the food that you discovered when you came to America?
There was a big difference, you know,
mm-hmm.
because back home in Africa, you know, we are used to have like your own garden and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You just go to your backyard garden and then you take your fresh tomatoes, your fresh vegetables, and then you start cooking.
Right.
Yeah, so yes, the food is different, you know. So I had to get used, you know, to the food here. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, my body had to change and then he had to adapt, you know. So yeah.
Great.
So yeah, it was a big change, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And what do you miss the most right now when you look at the food that you grew up eating and you look at the food that's locally available here? What do you miss the most?
We've got a staple food in Zimbabwe. It's called sadza.
Right.
So sadza is almost similar to fufu or to gari. Some other countries, they call it different names, you know. But mm-hmm. sadza is our staple food. So I miss sadza, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one which we use our hands eating it, you know. We don't even use any silverware, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, so I miss that, you know. And then we eat with the cow intestines, the tripe, you mm-hmm. know, that kind of things with okra and sometimes with peanut butter. So I miss those traditional meals, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So aren't you able to make those here?
It's difficult to get those kind of things and expensive also, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So besides that, what else did you discover here that you would ever, never ever imagine as part of this culture?
I think there's a lot of things, you know.
Yeah.
Difficult to say a single thing, but I discovered a lot of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, you know, to adapt to the new technology, like everything is evolving now.
Yeah.
Like all our lives just on the internet is on your phone, you know. You can,
mm-hmm.
like your whole life will be just on the phone. You can do banking, you can pay bills, you can do everything. Mm-hmm. On your phone while you're sitting on your couch, you know.
Yeah.
In Africa, we have to go to the bank and then you have to send in the queue. Everything, we must do it manually. So, yeah, you know, I was happy, like everything, yeah, you can just do it.
On your couch.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what did you consider like funny experiences as you walked in based on culture differences? Did you find anything funny or interesting in terms of culture, when you look at both cultures, yours and the local culture?
There is a lot, but I can't it's a difficult question. Yeah. There is, but you know, they said when you go to Rome, do what the Romans do. So some of the things, you know, I can't say it on radio, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, know, you get used to it when you go to a place that, okay, this is their way of living. So you just adapt to whatever is happening there.
Okay, great. So what did you, from the experiences based on your culture and the local culture, what have you tapped in to add to your culture? Those things that you think, oh, I'm going to take this and add and strengthen my culture.
Like especially like in, for example, you know, in my culture, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you are, let's say, if you are the father or the husband, you're the head of the house, right?
Yes.
So you'll be like calling all the shots and stuff. But when mm-hmm. I came here, I learned that, you know, people are equal here. Yeah. You know, there's no that you are the father, you just do all the decisions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife has got also the saying and everything.
Right.
So we are all humans. We treat each other equal and to respect women. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Which is different from our culture, you know. The mm-hmm. men are always doing everything. The women are just at the back line of everything. You
mm-hmm.
know? But here you can make decisions, men and women, everyone is equal.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. Is there anything else you found interesting that you think has helped you to improve on your culture or to strengthen your culture? Anything else?
It's difficult. It's difficult. Yeah, there will be one or two things, you know, which you take home. They said everything is it's a lesson, so you get a lesson out of whatever situation you go through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I've learned a lot of lessons, but I can't name them one by one, but I've learned a lot of stuff, you know.
Okay.
When I moved here, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. Great. Yeah, so in terms of the weather, how do you compare the local weather to the weather in Zimbabwe?
It's different, you know. In Zimbabwe it's mostly hot, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think 3/4 of the year, it's summertime, it's always hot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Portland, you know, it's a chilled weather, which I like it, you know what I mean? I like the rainy part of it, and then the cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
And then also that's where it was first time for me to discover snow, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And then I was very excited, like, okay, I mean, snow. Mm-hmm. Took a lot of pictures, a lot of videos, you know, sending people back home like, oh, I'm in the snow, you know, I mean, first time to see snow.
Right.
Playing in snow, you know, it was an awesome experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because in Africa, we don't have snow, you know what I mean?
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah, I was thrilled, and then that's why I was posting it, you know, to everyone, like.
So besides the snow, what was your early experiences with the winter here? Like, how did you feel? How did you react to the winter weather?
My first winter, I even got sick, you know what I mean? Because, oh. Yeah, I wasn't used to this weather, you know, so I even got sick. I couldn't even get out of bed, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So, yeah, it was a winter to remember, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's my first winter in the States, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing too I wanted to ask you would be like, what's the political situation in Zimbabwe right now?
Right now, there is a lot of fighting happening now in-house. Like the ruling party, the ZANU-PF,
mm-hmm.
they are even fighting amongst themselves right now. So there's fractioning which is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is making everything worse than it was before right now.
Okay.
Because there's no more political stability now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm even scared for my family, which is still there. Like, are they going to be safe or what? Because it's mm-hmm. like a military military country, kind of.
Okay.
Because the military rules everything right now in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do they have elections over there?
They did had elections. They had elections, I think, last year. I think so. Yeah, and then everything was rigged. So people, they tried to demonstrate, but to no avail, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So elections don't mean anything in Zimbabwe?
No, there's no democracy. Just like a thing to show the world, like for the first of the world just to show that there's elections, but doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not going to change anything.
Interesting. And how do you feel personally? How do you feel about that situation in Zimbabwe?
To me, it's so painful. It's so painful because if everything was okay, I think I'll be back home now, you know, doing my music and my job right now. But mm-hmm. now I'm thousands of miles away
mm-hmm.
due to that political instability.
Mm-hmm.
Which is making everyone flee their own country, because I think everyone wants to live in their own countries, but mm-hmm. due to circumstances like this, they make us to flee our own country, which is so painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if conditions improve, do you hope to be home one day, to live at home in Zimbabwe permanently?
Yes. Home mm-hmm. is always the best.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. I'm going to kindly ask you, do you want to play us another piece before we go further with our... Sure.
All right. Okay, yeah, let's do another one.
Okay.
All right.
We have one from the YouTube channels.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
great.
Thank you.
That was Chipembere, a song from Napoleon Jambua, who I'm interviewing this evening. He's my guest from Zimbabwe, an immigrant from Zimbabwe. He's singing about the rhino as one of the most powerful animals in Zimbabwe because it dominates the jungle just like the lion and the elephant. So it has a special significance. For those just joining us, you are listening to the KBOO Global Sales Show, and I'm your host, TK Kapura. Talking about culture, I'm talking about immigration, I'm talking about different other topics, foods, cuisines, and other experiences. So, Napoleon, welcome on board again. Getting deeper into our conversation, we were just talking about culture differences between the Zimbabwean culture and the American culture. Would you also care to explain some of the experiences you found very interesting when you got to the USA from Zimbabwe? What you used not to do there, then you end up doing those practices here. You just make some comments about culture differences. Do you care to explain a little bit more about that?
Oh, yes. There's another thing which was like different to me, right? Like when I came here, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to animals.
Mm-hmm.
Because back home in Zimbabwe, especially, let me give you an example, like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
We do have dogs, right? Just like here, but our dogs, they've got different situations.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Africa, we don't live with our dogs inside the houses.
Okay.
But when I came here, I found the dogs, they have nice beds, they eat nice meals.
Mm-hmm.
Even dogs have got insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
wow.
Back home, you know, our dogs don't even have anything like that, because our dogs are, let's say, it's part of security.
Mm-hmm.
Because a dog is like an alarm first, because mm-hmm. when you hear your dog barking outside, which means there's someone outside there, so mm-hmm. you have to wake up and check what's happening outside.
Yeah.
Or if someone is trying to, let's say you are owing someone some money,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't want to pay them back.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use your dog, you know, to attack the person if you don't want to pay. Yeah, because you'll be just inside your house, the dog will be just doing its thing outside.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, and then our dogs, you know, in Zimbabwe, you know, our dogs, they used to eat our leftovers food, but here a dog will have a proper meal. So it was like a cultural difference which I liked also. Yeah.
So dogs have a special budget.
Yeah, that's what I found, but mm-hmm. it's a good thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because for us, dogs, they are our security, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Yeah.
Wow. So how do you appreciate dogs in Zimbabwe for giving you security? What's the special way to appreciate them?
I think we just give them our leftover foods.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people can't afford to buy a meal for a dog. Later on, like, the thing is, yourself, you can't even afford a proper meal, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
As the owner of the dog. So
yes.
For the dog to have a proper meal, you can't afford it. It's going to be something else. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. How about cats? Do you have cats?
Oh, cats, yeah. Cats also. I found, yeah, they are cool. Because cats, they live indoors here. And snakes also. Because in my culture, cats mm-hmm. and snakes, if people they find you like keeping them inside the house
mm-hmm.
or in your yard, it's, I don't know, because we believe in this thing for witchcraft, that if you are keeping a snake or a cat, mm-hmm. which means you are practicing witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, I'm telling, they can even chase you away from the community because they'll think you are practicing witchcraft, of which is a different case here. They are just pets here. Cat and a snake is just a pet, you know, you keep it.
Okay.
But it's a different thing there. That's how I was telling people, okay, if you come here, if you see people with a cat, with a snake, or with an owl or something like that, it's associated with witchcraft in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what other experiences did you find to be interesting here in terms of the culture?
Also, what I found, and then I liked it also because Americans, they are different from Africa, Zimbabweans especially. Mm-hmm. Because Americans, they will tell you things as they are. Things as they are, you know. They don't beat around the bush like what we do in Africa, you know. Because I think some of us, in our culture, you know, it's, we don't tell people like other small details, like if you are going to use a bathroom, you must tell them what you're going to do, that I'm going to do number one or I'm going to do number two. In our culture, you don't talk those things, you know, those like, it's like a taboo. It's your secret. Just go there. So when you, let's say after you use your bathroom, you'll be even be shy to come back to the crowd, you know, like, oh, everyone say, oh, you were doing number two. You know, but here it's normal. You can just tell people, okay, no one cares, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you find that honesty or cash, I would say cash talk, where people talk freely about their business, do you find it as a good thing or not a good thing?
It has got two ways. There's two things involved. Sometimes it's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes too much information is not good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So besides that, do you consider this situation something that you are still learning from, or you think maybe you have known a lot about this local culture? Do you think you're still in learning phase?
I'm still learning, but I liked it because sometimes, you know, you just need to say the truth, what you feel, what you want to do, that mm-hmm. kind of vibes.
Right.
Yeah, so sometimes being open is good, but in our culture, you know, I think it's a culture thing that we don't share a lot of details here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to have the last piece from Napoleon Jambo. He's going to give us a piece on the Mbira music from Zimbabwe. This is, unfortunately, our very last piece before we say goodbye.
All right.
Yeah.
Perega, 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 perega. perega, 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 fura um carangaiwe.
That was a special parting shot from Napoleon Jamba from Zimbabwe. He was playing the mbira instrument. Thank you so much for listening in. My name is TK Kapura. I was your host this evening. We do the Global Cell Show every first Wednesday of the month. And thank you so much for joining us. Hope we see you again the first week of the month of June. You have a great evening. Thank you for listening in.
Michael Van Cleek, Vice President of KABU's Board of Directors. Are you passionate about KABU Community Radio and its mission? Do you want to use your